Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
We were reflecting back on the weekend that was just a big weekend for Broncos country. Big time. Big time. You know, the old conversation, and I say old, it's not that old, of the Broncos are the most underrepresented team in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that considering the success that they've had, the contrast of those two things was fair. But now, I mean, you look at, it was, you know, Floyd Little, I think 2010, Terrell Davis 2017, Pat Bowlen 2019, Champ Bailey went in 2019. This weekend we saw Peyton Manning, Steve Atwater, John Lynch. Is it time to retire that thought process of the people look over us?
Yeah, I think it is. I think to some extent it's kind of been a bit of a loser's lament anyway. Like, they're not a loser franchise, but it's sort of like, really, we're going to complain that we don't have enough people in the Hall of Fame? Like, it just, it always seemed a little lame. It was accurate, so I could go with it, but I never really liked it. There are still guys who should be in there, right? Randy Gradishar should be in there. You make an argument for Louis Wright. The late Dr. Z, Paul Zimmerman, who wrote for Sports Illustrated, covered football for decades, used to say Rich Tombstone Jackson was the best defensive lineman he's ever seen. He's not in the Hall of Fame. You know, Rod Smith, put Rod Smith's numbers up and put him next to Michael Irvin. They're kind of a mirror image. And one guy strolled into Canton and the other guy never gets mentioned.
Right.
Tommy Nalen probably is somebody who could be on there. I mean, he's the center for I don't know how many 1,000-yard rushers, for a 2,000-yard rusher, for an offensive line that led this team to back-to-back Super Bowls or was part of back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, there's still arguments to be made. I'm watching Tom Flores give his speech. Nothing against Tom Flores, but if he's in, Mike Shanahan should be in.
Oh, the Mike Shanahan thing.
Jimmy Johnson, Mike Shanahan. I mean, resumes, both won two Super Bowls. You know, that's the beef with Broncos fans has always been, and look, Michael Irvin, Rod Smith, Mike Shanahan, Jimmy Johnson falls into this. If the guys who aren't in there played for the Cowboys, or the Steelers, or the Giants, or the Packers, they would be there. It's because they played for the Broncos that they're not. There's something to that. Like, Jerome Bettis is a Hall of Famer. If Jerome Bettis didn't play for the Steelers, didn't have a funny nickname, didn't have a cute song, didn't play forever, like, there was never 3 minutes during Jerome Bettis' career where he was the best running back in football. But he's in there. Because he played for the Steelers. If he had that same career and he was, you know, wheels on the bus go round and round for the Titans.
I mean, James.
He doesn't.
Let's put a little respect on Jerome Bettis' name here.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
I like what you're trying to say, but you guys was a two-time first-team All-Pro, second-team All-Pro, a six-time Pro Bowler, rookie of the year.
How many times did he lead the league in rushing?
I don't know, but he went for over 13,000 yards. I mean, golly, James.
How many years did he play?
He played from 93 to 2005.
Okay, so in 13 years, he rushed for 13,000 yards. He averaged 1,000 yards a year. So
pretty good, James!
67 yards a game.
Yeah. Pretty good, dude!
Yeah, it's pretty good. It ain't the Hall of Pretty Good. It ain't the Hall of Pretty Good.
Oh, my God.
Jerome Bettis was never considered the best running back in football. Ever.
Frank Gore never was either. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Well, he shouldn't. But if you need 2 yards.
Hold on a second.
If you need 2 yards.
Frank Gore shouldn't go to the Hall of Fame?
No. He shouldn't. He just played forever. Just because you're still playing.
There's no value in that. There's no value of being, you know, the third all-time leading rusher in the history of the sport.
No.
It depends on how you get there.
It depends on how you get there. He just stumbled off the all-time rushing list to third overall.
Doesn't make you great.
Oh, my gosh.
If you need 2 yards, give the ball to Jerome Bettis or let Teddy Bridgewater throw it.
Oh, no. No.
There's your choice for the day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Oh, James.
Not a big Jerome Bettis fan.
I guess not. Another former Bronco might have a chance to get in next year.
I'm talking about DeMarcus Ware. I'm talking about DeMarcus Ware. Is he a lock to get in his, it would be his first time around, be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't have his stats in front of me, but he's got to have 100-plus career sacks,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Way past it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of the benchmark, or had been the benchmark. So, yeah, I think DeMarcus Ware gets in. Again, to my point.
138.5.
Wow. And a half.
35 forced fumbles.
He's a layup, right? And there were times during his career, especially maybe year 3-4 in Dallas, when he was the best pass rusher in football.
No question.
He's going to go in there. He played
Dude had a 20-sack season in 2008. That's absurd.
So if you go to his page on Pro Football Reference, there's some numbers in bold, right? Because he led the league. Unlike Jerome Bettis, you won't see a lot of bold.
Yeah, so leave Jerome alone.
Anyhow, he also played 3 years as a Bronco. So he's ineligible based on the new made-up rule to be a Broncos Ring of Famer because they decided it's 4 years because it's the John Lynch rule, which is silly. DeMarcus Ware did more as a Bronco in 3 years than John Lynch did in four. And again, it's not a knock on John Lynch. It's just the reality of what DeMarcus Ware did. He helped this team win a Super Bowl. But bigger than that, when he got here, remember the state of Von Miller's career.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's coming off the year in which he got suspended for trying to cheat on a drug test. And he got injured. And he was trying to sneak into the Seahawks victory party after they beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl. Like,
not
he
a
was
great
a
look.
Mess.
Yeah.
He was a mess. Now, I give majority of the credit for turning that around to Von Miller, and I think it's one of the undertold stories in this town.
To DeMarcus Ware, you mean?
No, to Von. Von turned it around.
Yep.
Right? He deserves most of the credit. If you turn your life around, you're the one who did it.
That's right.
You can have a lot of people in your ear.
That's right.
It's not going to matter. So Von gets most of the credit. But number two on that list is probably DeMarcus Ware, right? And part of that is just coming in and showing him, here's how you do it, and being a kind of the big brother figure to him. And as somebody that you respect and you look at and say, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
So what am I doing in my life that's not working that's preventing me from being that guy?
And he's got that quality that we talked about last week, that to be a true leader in an NFL locker room, you have to have the equity on the field.
Yeah.
But you also have the personal characteristic of holding people accountable, which inherently means you are making people uncomfortable. And DeMarcus Ware had that.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. He was willing to challenge Von Miller on the things Von Miller was doing wrong in his life, right? Sometimes people don't want to hear it. Going back to the start of the show when Vic Fangio doesn't want to make uncomfortable decisions and won't just pick a quarterback. He's hoping one of them just makes it easy for him. DeMarcus Ware will say those things and will have those conversations. So when he goes in, yeah, the majority of his career and the majority of those 138.5 sacks were as a Cowboy down in Dallas. But I will watch that and it'll be a lot like watching Peyton of that guy represents the Broncos without a doubt. And it was only 3 years and it will be more so to me than John Lynch was. And I think it's a shame that they made up a rule that now prevents him from being a Ring of Famer because I think he deserves to have his name up there.
All right. Good conversations. You can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. To react to some of these conversations that we've been having. I put up a tweet on Twitter that asked the simple question, what is the goal of the 2021 Broncos season? It has over 100 replies here within the past 55 minutes. I want to get to some of those replies in the final segment of today's show. But I do want to circle back to the weekend that was not in the Hall of Fame, but for the Denver Broncos and the quarterback competition. What went down on Saturday and Sunday? Is there separation? We'll hear from the head coach and discuss coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
James Merrillat from DenverFan.com filling in for Brandon Stokely today as Stoke makes his way back from Canton, Ohio. Hopefully we get some good stories tomorrow. We're going to get to some of these replies on Twitter. You can hit me up at Byzline. I asked a simple question. What is the goal of the 2021 season for the Broncos? And the spectrum of replies and goals is incredible. And we'll get to that just momentarily. But you and I were out at practice on Saturday, James.
Yes.
The Broncos also practiced inside at UC Health Training Center yesterday. What did you make? Let's just start with Saturday. What did you make of Saturday's practice?
Well, clearly the highlight was the Bowles-Chubb battle, the fight, the melee. That was definitely the highlight.
That's the thing everybody was talking about.
I actually think it was a good thing. I think it's a team that needed to show a little spirit, a little fight. So to see it manifest itself in that was good. The fact that it was two starters and not a couple of guys that, you know, fringe players, I actually think is even better. Now, I don't want to see it every day. I don't want to see a lot of it because then it's a team that's out of control, but I thought it was good. You know, I worried a little bit seeing Bradley Chubb getting tossed to the ground and then having guys jump on top of him and, the fight ensuing, but, you know, you can't wrap him in bubble wrap. So I think that part of it was fine. It was interesting that Garrett Bowles, he quit practice. That's what happened. He left, and it took not one assistant coach to go in and get him out. It took the general manager to go into the locker room and coax him back out on the field 20 to 30 minutes after the fight. So he wasn't in cooling down. That's not what was happening. He threw his helmet and equipment bin and went inside and was calling it a day.
He did. I watched it with my own eyes.
That's what was happening. I thought that day my vote for the quarterback battle went to Teddy. I thought he was slightly better. And again, how I grade this, though, is it's not – look, if you have a day like Teddy did a couple of Saturdays ago where he threw three picks, you're losing because of the mistakes. If you have a day like Drew had, I don't know, a week or so ago where it took you an hour and a half to complete a pass, you're losing because of poor play. But most days I'm grading this based on who made the big plays, who had the wow moments, who had those throws that got the hill going. And it's not just based on entertainment. It's just based on a formula to try and win every game 17-13 in 2021 just ain't going to happen. I don't care how good your defense is. You have to be able to make some plays. And more often than not, Drew Locke has made more big plays. Yesterday, by all accounts, certainly at the start of practice, he was doing that. We saw on social media the post of his 70-yard touchdown or whatever it was to Cortland Sutton. It was just like, man, that's a big boy throw.
It was legitimately at least 65 yards in the air.
Yeah, and it's a ball that Teddy Bridgewater can't throw. So that, to me, puts him over the top. Now, did he slow down at the end of practice? Sure. But this, he has to go out and play perfect and can't make any mistakes. And even little mistakes, like if he's throwing picks, I get it. Those are bad mistakes. And those are the things Pat Shurmur was talking about. We can't have colossal mistakes. But he didn't make the read fast enough. And
the
nitpickiness of Drew Lock is crazy to me.
Well, hold on. Now, there might be nitpicking taking place with Drew Lock, but I've been out there every day, but two of the closed practices.
Yeah.
He does take too long with
sure.
the football. I mean, there is like once a day in 7-on-7 where they have, now 7-on-7 set up for you to have success as an offensive player. Once a day, it gets blown dead. You know, because in real football, it's a sack. So I think those are fair criticisms.
Fine, and I'm with you. But how many of those times do we then scan down the field and it's like, well, geez, he had KJ Hamler wide open and missed him? Not very often. I think more often than not, it's like, well, there's nobody open. So is he supposed to force it in there? He gets criticized if he runs in 7-on-7. We all love to laugh about that. He gets criticized if he hangs onto the ball, and he gets criticized if he forces it. So what do you do if no one's open? Like, that's a little bit of the damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, part of this equation.
And I'm not saying it's not part of the equation, but, like, when it happens day after day to one guy and they're interchangeable players throughout camp, I think that's reasonable criticism that, like, this guy, it's nothing over the top, James. For me, it's just, like, it takes 1 second too long. Like, if he could just shave 1 second off, because in real games, that 1 second is the difference between a window opening or closing, and it's a difference between, you know, getting the ball off or getting your head taken off by Arden Key.
And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. There was a moment on Saturday when you and I were standing next to each other watching practice, and he completed a pass. But we both kind of looked at each other and we're like, that was like one beat late.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
He probably wouldn't have got that off. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But I like to make the joke about all the people down there keeping score. They're like the Little League mom keeping the scorebook. And the reason being, and this happens over and over and over again, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't get rid of the ball, tucks it and runs. It's like, man, look at the decision making. Smart. Didn't throw it away. You know, didn't make a mistake. Drew Locke does the same thing. It's like, geez, can he make a decision? Like, what's going on? It's the same play. It's the same thing happening. And it depends on the lens through which people are watching it that I think is
going on
here.
I think there's some of that.
But I just
win more games, Cub Scout.
I just don't like what they're trying to do to Drew Locke. And I don't like that they're trying to win football games 17-13. I don't think it's going to work. And I wrote about it today at DenverFan.com. And you and I talked a little bit about this on Friday, but just the gist of it was, in 1998, the Broncos had a great offense. It's John Elway, Terrell Davis ran for 2,000 yards, Shannon Sharp, he's in the Hall of Fame, Rod Smith maybe should be, Nalen should be, Schlereth, you could make the argument, like, loaded. Their defense didn't just sit back and try to not make mistakes. They did the opposite. They were blitzing all over the place. They had 47 sacks and forced 39 turnovers.
Holy moly.
What'd this defense force last year? 16?
Yeah.
And that's getting four in the season finale. They had 12 through 15
games. That's right.
39 forced turnovers. And the idea was, hey, we want to get the ball back for this offense. If we want to do it as fast as possible, if we can set them up with a short field, even better. And you know what? If we get burned, John and company are going to get it back. And games just turned into blowouts. I think complimentary football with this team would be, we got a good enough defense. If Drew makes a mistake, they'll hold him to a field goal. It's a top five defense, and we'll be all right. But if we go out and can get a lead with this defense, and they can pin their ears back and come after people, we're going to be tough to beat. Why isn't the game plan, or why isn't the strategy, how can we figure out how to blow people out? Instead, it's, we got a top five defense. Let's try and win this game 12-9. I don't understand that mentality. I think it's the Vic Fangio, very conservative. You know, he's got to be a guy that when he was playing Little League was like the drag bunt kid. You know, he's never swinging for the fences. He's just drag bunt kid.
Vic Fangio is the drag bunt kid.
He got on base and he's happy. He's happy. He's on base. At some point, you got to swing the bat. And I feel like they're just not willing to on offense. And what they're trying to turn Drew Locke into is a prime example of it.
Well, Vic Fangio was asked over the weekend about the quarterback battle, an update on it. And what he said was, okay, what he said was the same. And then yeah. There was
10 practices.
There was a follow-up, like, even, he said, what was the quote, no separation?
It was, have you seen any separation? And the answer was no.
Right.
Good stuff.
All right, well, the team is going to travel to Minnesota here tomorrow, and joint practices start on Wednesday. We do have boots on the ground. Nate Jackson is going to be in Minnesota reporting for us on each of our shows. So really looking forward to what we can learn and maybe a potential wake-up call here in the next 72 hours or so. It's James Merrillat from DenverFan.com filling in for Brandon Stokely, who makes his way back from Canton, Ohio. Interested to hear from his vantage point how things were this weekend, if he can, in fact, remember it. All right. I put out the question on Twitter, and I want to bounce it off you, James, and read some of the replies. And the question is a serious one, yet super simple. What's the goal of the 2021 season for the Denver Broncos? We'll get to it next.
I'm not into Drew Locke.
Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
A serious yet simple question I want to toss out to Broncos country. What is the goal of the 2021 season? This time last year, it was clear. I mean, there was no real debate. The Broncos were not in a win-now mode. They were going to, I mean, not that they couldn't win games, but that was secondary to finding out if Drew Locke had the chops to be potentially a franchise quarterback. Not that we would know for sure, but would we still be willing to walk down that road with Drew following the 2020 season? And for some, they saw enough to keep going down that road. Are you in that camp that you saw enough from Drew Lock in 2020 to continue the research to see if he can be a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
James Merrilock from DenverFan.com?
Yes. Now, and I said this all offseason, if you could significantly upgrade from Drew Lock, count me in. Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson before all the legal issues, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, you know, the guys that I would consider a significant upgrade, fine, I'd move on. Short of that, I saw enough, let's continue down the path. Going with a guy that may or may not be better than Drew Lock seems like just a silly path.
All right. Well, I tossed this out to Broncos Country on Twitter. All right. We're both on Twitter. You can follow James with caution at James Merrilack. You can follow me at Byesline, B-Y-E-S-L-I-N-E.
I think that's fair.
Okay. It was really interesting, the real gambit of replies. The spectrum on this thing is unbelievable, to the point where someone like Joe can say, chase a Super Bowl. He believes that.
Okay. Chase a Super Bowl.
Someone else says, lose enough games so your draft pick is appetizing to the Packers.
I think that one makes more sense. Now, it doesn't really sound like a goal, but if at the end of the season that's what you accomplished, you went 4-13, and the Packers are like, yep, here's Aaron Rodgers. We'll take the fourth pick in the draft. Okay, then 2021 was successful in a weird year, in a weird way.
Someone else says, Rhino says, figure out if Lock is the long-term answer. Same thing as 2020.
Yeah, so they failed to do that last year, but the people who failed to get us that answer are back this year. Right? Like
correct.
Correct. That was the goal. If you don't do this, the season is considered a failure. So you were 5-11, which is a failure, and you didn't accomplish the goal, which is a failure, but everybody's back, which makes no sense to me.
Scott says to have a winning record and beat the Chiefs.
Okay. That sounds like a goal if you're a Cleveland fan. That's Broncos are a franchise that have been Super Bowl or bust. That was always the mantra under Pat Bowlen. They're not going to the Super Bowl this year. I'm not with Joe, but I think you could set the goal of, hey, this needs to be on the path to a Super Bowl, where we look back in 5 years and we can say, remember they started at 5-11? And that 8-9 year, when they planted whatever the seed is that turns out to be something, that's when that happened. That, to me, is more realistic if you want to start talking Super Bowl.
Okay. Someone else says Super Bowl. Someone else says, I'd like to see them above 500. Andrew says, I'd like to see them above 500 and hopefully win one game against the Chiefs. Okay, more of the same. Someone else says playoffs. Okay. Chris says, to find out if Drew Lock is a QB of the future. And secondary, make the playoffs. For you personally, James Merrilack, what's the goal of the Broncos in 2021?
Playoffs?
Well, I think at this point, unfortunately, the goal is the same as it was a year ago. It's you got to find out what you have in Drew Lock. And I think you don't give him the entire season this year. I think he's the starter week one. And if they don't go at least 2-1 in those first three games, then you switch and you go to Teddy and you pull the plug and you try to salvage the season. But you got the answer, right? If you can't beat the Giants, if you can't beat two out of the three of the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets,
it's a wrap. If the Broncos start 1-2,
they're done. So I think that's part of it. I think part of the goal down there is to save Vic Fangio's job. But look, with this defense and the money they've spent on it and the talent they supposedly have on that side of the ball and this schedule, if Vic Fangio can't win in this circumstance,
he's got one of the easiest schedules in the National Football
League. Then he's never going to win.
The first three games, the combined record of the opponents between the Giants, the Jags, and the Jets last year was 9-39.
So, yeah.
And two of those teams are playing a quarterback that has as many NFL starts as I do.
Yeah. So they're 0-7 in September under Vic Fangio. That has to end. But I guess the long-winded way for me to say, here's what the goal needs to be. It needs to be the playoffs. It has to be playoffs or bust. Because to me, if you finish 8-9, 9-8, then you sit there and you're in, but don't make the playoffs. Now you're in no man's land, especially if you do it with Teddy. Well, do we run it back with Teddy and try and build upon this? Do we try and build upon this with Vic?
It could be tempting if you know,
We improved by 4.5 games. I mean, that's a big jump.
That is a big jump. If you improve year over year by 4 games, that's a big jump.
So do we keep building upon this? I mean, you know, look, when you finally gave Vic an offseason where he didn't have to deal with COVID and they had, you know, OTAs and got to have field day again and everything, then look what he can do. So they would talk themselves into it. But if you draw the line and say you have to get in the playoffs, then I think it becomes you don't get fooled and you don't get tempted by a season that's pretty good. Because, look, if you can't make the playoffs with this schedule and there's now 7 playoff teams, then you're not on the right track. You're not on the right track to anything. And you're going to talk yourself into – because then Vic will be heading into his last year. So do you let him be a lame duck coach or do you give him an extension? Which to me is my head is going to explode.
I can see that. And I mean, both of our heads would explode. That is not warranting an extension. So it sounds like you disagree with Polish, who on Twitter says, the goal of the season is to buck the recent losing trend and show the rest of the NFL that the Broncos are on the rise.
I think if you're bucking the losing trend and making the playoffs, fine. If you don't make the playoffs, you clean house, right? If Teddy Bridgewater beats out Drew Lock, then Drew Lock should be gone. If Teddy Bridgewater can't make the playoffs with this schedule and this defense and all he has to do is go manage the game, then he's never going to make the playoffs. You move on. If Vic Fangio doesn't make the playoffs this year, you move on. So that's it. That becomes the goal because it's a definitive answer after the season of, yes, we've got enough to build on because you're not going to get rid of your quarterback and your coach if you make the playoffs. But if you don't, that's now 5 years. Well, I guess you could have a winning record and not make the playoffs. 6 years in a row without making the playoffs. Time to clean house, and George Payton can bring in the guy he wants at the two most important spots on any football team, quarterback and head coach. That, to me, is the definitive goal. But we've heard what it is. We've heard directly it's we want to play relevant games in November and December. That's what George Payton said was the goal, which if you're a longtime Broncos fan or even a recent Broncos fan should make you just bang your head against the desk to hear we hope to be relevant in November. Like after Halloween.
I had a tweet not long ago. Let's say let's start with being relevant in October. This is a team that has been out of the race at the quarter pole for 2 consecutive years.
Yeah. Yeah. So to me, though, that should not be a goal. That is way too low of a standard. And then indirectly, they've showed us, and if they go with Teddy Bridgewater, it'll say it even more, that the goal down there is to save Vic Fangio's job. George Payton has done everything he can to give Vic Fangio everything he needs to save his job, including bringing in a veteran safety net quarterback. It's a big difference from last year when it was Drew and then it was Driscoll and Rippon.
Yep, combined 8
huge
starts total between Rippon and Driscoll and a combined record of, you know, 1-7.
So he's paying Von Miller. He brought back Kareem.
That was the biggest one. Asking Von to take a pay cut, Von says, no, let me go play for someone else. And then they balked and paid him.
Yeah.
So like you said, bring back Kareem, bringing in Darby, bringing in Fuller. I mean,
drafting Sertan. The list goes on and on and on. So he's given Vic everything he could possibly need. He's set it up to where Vic has no excuses. And he's the king of excuses. And there are no more. Barring just a rash of injuries between now and the opener on the defensive side of the ball, there are no excuses for Vic Fangio if he doesn't get to what? And to me, it's not relevant in November and December. It's not a winning record. It's the playoffs. If you don't get to the playoffs, you are out, and it is time to move in a different direction.
All right. I mean, fascinating conversation. There's no question about it. And again, the replies are, you know, continuing to pour in. One says, make the playoffs. The next one, Mile High Justice, says, just don't suck again. It's to each his own response on that question, but it illustrates just where we are, that the answers to this are so diversified.
You're better off being terrible than mediocre in the NFL.
It's true.
You are, because then you're loading up on high draft picks.
But the problem is the Broncos have been terrible for a half a decade, and we still haven't seen the true dividends of the resources that the Broncos are supposedly getting in return in the draft.
This is when they had the number 5 overall pick. They didn't use it properly. But, yes, you're right. It hasn't paid off, but that is the recipe for how you get out of these kind of doldrums.
All right, James, thanks for being in here. Had a blast of a show today.
That was fun.
We actually don't need Stokely. We actually don't need Stokely. But we'll invite him back in here tomorrow anyway.
Can't wait to hear the stories.
Yeah, can't wait. Reacting to Stokely's weekend at the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction. of Peyton, of Atwater, John Lynch. Big, big weekend for Broncos country. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
Shout out to Richie Carney, our producer. We step aside with The Drive, who is reacting from being in Canton over the weekend. Should be a pretty great lesson. That's coming up next.
I just got to cross a couple I's and dot a couple T's.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.